for you today. We're going to be talking about authority within the home. Our Bible verse is going to be Ephesians 5:21. And it's a very good subject. And we need to pay attention to this one because this lesson here had been mistaught so much in the church world system that sometimes wives seem to think they're being dominated by their husband instead of being led by their husband in a spiritual way. And so God never intended for anyone to be dominated by one another as husband and wife. He expects that there to be a certain area of submission. And what I learned through the years, that in this lesson here, we always went to the 22nd verse of this scripture in Ephesians 5:22. Went to the 22nd verse, but we missed the 21 verse, the 21st verse. And in this subjection here, we're going to find out that subjection goes back and forth in marriage. It's not a one-way trip here. And so you got to be very understanding when you come to the scripture of what God thinks about authority in the home. Well, turn your Bible with me to Ephesians 5. We're going to begin. Well, Brother Nee started his lesson in the 22nd verse. And when I began to read it, it didn't sound too spiritually healthy because he didn't tell the whole story. 22nd verse said, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord." Yeah, that's true. Wives should submit themselves to their own husband in the Lord. But also, look at that 24th verse. It says, "Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord." Now, when you submit yourself one to another, that's, let me use another word, Claire. Submitting is the yielding to authority. So we can use this scripture as yielding yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. A yielding is a submission. And so when husband and wife yield to one another, then there's no, how would I say that? There's no competition when it comes to husband and wife. But the husband become head of the wife as a position. But as a person, you should submit to one to another. I'm trying to make this point clear. As leadership in the house, when God created Adam over Eve, Eve was to submit to Adam in the position, but yet on the personal level, they're supposed to submit to one another, yield to one another, only in responsibility and accountability, I believe, this headship is determined. Because God don't want no one lording over his creation. And to say just the wife submit yourself to your husband, it's a form of lordship if you don't watch it. It's a form of control. And I've seen some men use this scripture to try to dominate their wife, to try to make their wives get into a certain level of submission, when that's not what it's about at all. You see, we'll support one another. We'll submit to one another. But yet, when it comes to responsibility, God holds the man accountable and responsible for the welfare and the outcome of the situation in the home. Hope I make myself clear. Because nobody wants a dominating husband. No wife wants a dominating husband. Nobody wants to be ruled with a rod of iron. No, they have to be a supporting for one another. They have to be a structure set up in the home. When the wife respects her husband and the husband respects his wife, but yet the wife yield to that husband as the head of the relationship, knowing that God had put them in a position of authority. And we're going to find out how this works when you get down to how a wife is supposed to submit to her husband. The scriptures gave an example. Apostle Paul gave an example. Now, we got to find out why this letter was written to the Ephesian church. Through study, I found out. Now, this is not in the book, lad, but through study, I found out that men treated their wife badly in the Ephesian church. They lorded over their wife. One lesson I studied behind, they said men would literally grab their wives by the hair and drag them. Yeah, and it forced them into some type of a submission. And so Apostle Paul had to write this letter to kind of calm the church down a little bit, to let them know, no, we're not talking about this kind of rule. We're not talking about this kind of authority. We're not talking about this kind of submission. We're not talking about forced submission, forcing your wife to submit. Oh, it's a hard thing when a man got to force his wife to submit. No, but we're going to find out as we read the scripture exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And see, and so earlier, Apostle would teach us about marriage and submission and how husband should love his wife and how the relationship should function at home between the husband and the wife relationship in the family. And so we learned so much in the earlier days of the ministry about wives and submission. And so it gave me another understanding of how I'm supposed to treat my wife when it comes to submission. So I'm going to read 24 verses again. I was just preluding this lesson, class, because we don't want to get this lesson wrong and misinterpret the scripture, because you can make the scripture say anything you want to say. You got to fall in line with the rest of the scripture. Now, as we read, we're going to let this scripture, the 24th verse, speak for the rest of the scriptures concerning authority in the home. It says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, that's the story behind that, but I don't have time to get into that. You see, you not submit yourself to somebody else, another. I don't want my wife submitting to another man. She's supposed to submit to me. You see, she's supposed to yield herself to me. She's supposed to please me. Are you with me? All right. So, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, here's the scripture that's going to bring everything everything into context. That's the word. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now watch. Here's the scripture here that's going to define that. Even as Christ is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And look what he says here. And he is the savior of the body. Christ is the savior of the body. Not on the head, but he's identified as the savior of the body. He's the one that secured the body into a place of safety. Jesus put in a place of safety and preservation. You see it? Salvation. It has a sevenfold meaning. All right? So look. And then it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Now, he's bringing to some understanding here. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be subject unto their own husband in everything. Now the question is, how is the church subject unto Christ, lad? How is the church subject unto Christ? Is Christ a dominant Christ, or is Christ a loving Christ? Is Christ a judging Christ, or is Christ is a Christ that don't judge anyone? Is Christ a peaceable Christ? I'm trying to find these characteristics of Christ So if the wife submits herself as unto Christ, we got to see what kind of person Christ is. So let the wife be to their husband, in therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be subject to their own husband in everything. And then it tells how the husband is supposed to treat his wife. Now, this don't sound like control to me, class. This don't sound like dominating to me. This sound like the love of Christ should be in the marriage, demonstrating itself to a degree that a wife want to submit. A wife got to want to submit, just like you want to submit to the Lord Jesus. When you think about all that he's done for you, you want to love him. You want to submit to him. You want to serve him. You want to give him everything that you've got. You see, you just want to be in his company. Now, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to the husband, own husband, and everything. And here's it says, husband, love your wife. How am I to love my wife? Even as Christ also loved the church. You see it? Even as Christ also loved the church. Now, that's a big statement there. And he loved it so much, he gave himself for it. A husband should give himself for his wife, not take something from her. You see, not take everything from her and strip her, and that she's worthless and nothing, and has no respect for her. And no, he gave himself for the church. He loved the church and gave himself for her. He died that we might live. He became poor that we might be rich. And he became sick that we might be healed. He was wounded for our transgression. So all these things are what Christ did for the church. And so that's should be a mark of the husband in relationship to his wife. That don't sound like domination to me. Now, when you put in respect a man in relationship to his wife as Christ is to the church, no, that's love going forth. Love of God, you see? The love of God should flow in the marriage, not domination, you see? So a wife should submit to her husband willingly. She should want to serve him. She should want to be subject unto him. She would want him to take the responsibility. One of the responsibility is my wife shouldn't even have to be thinking about the burden of trying to balance the house, and the burden of making sure all the kids' needs are met, the burden of trying to carry the children, you know, I mean, when sickness and disease attack their body. Sure, we put the prayer together, but I'm responsible for the health and the welfare of the home. My wife shouldn't need none of these burdens upon her. Okay, honey, I'll handle it. I got this. And the woman should be able to enjoy her husband. A true husband that's submitted to God should free his wife up from the strain and the pain and the worry and the stress. No, these things should be on my shoulder. See, you're not built. A woman is really not built to carry the burden. You see, and God created her as a helpmate. And she shouldn't have to carry the load of the house, trying to manage and make these things. No, that's stress. The world system has redirected the house. Well, the woman got to work just as hard as the man to make things work. No, the man should be the provider. And now we're not saying women go quit your job, but because the society and the system has trapped the people into living just like the world system. But a godly woman with a godly husband, with a godly revelation, should not have to be struggling to try to make ends meet. You see it? And so there should be a peace and a joy in the home. I'm trying to show you where the house should be with the husband in responsibility. So husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Class, do you see what we're getting at here? So we're not gonna be categorized as the world system government of husband and wife. You see it? We shouldn't have to be dealing with this as Christian husband and Christian wife. We should not be dominating one another. Nowhere in the Word of God say a husband should dominate or a wife should dominate a husband. No, we should be one. We should be one. All right? So we're going to live as one and love as one. I like what Apostle is doing right now. Apostle said, what we're going to do is, he said, try praying with your wife, hold hands, and pray in the Holy Ghost for 3 minutes. He said, put your watch on it. 3 minutes. Just pray in the Holy Ghost concerning your relationship and your marriage and watch the difference going to make. Well, my wife and I have been doing that. And we find out that it's so much better when we are one accord, you know, praying for one another. You see it? In the spirit. Not praying my will on her and she not praying her will for me. And what I do is I throw my children in it. And I throw my grandchildren in it while I'm praying. I know it might be seem like I'm altering a little bit, but what I like to do is, you know, I just take advantage of the opportunity to pray together. Because sometimes we don't always pray together. And but it's good that husband and wife pray together. Are you with me, class? Thank God for Apostle. Now, I'm going to finish reading this. So all men to have their wife as their own body. Now, let me back up a little bit here. He might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Talking about the church. So all men to love their wives. You see that? A man should love his wife like Christ loved the church, so Christ can present it with holy, without spot or blemish. A husband should be able to hold his wife up in high esteem, for that she'll be the happiest woman in the world. My goodness. But they should be holy and without blemish. So all men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. My goodness. That don't sound like domination to me. That submission is the way it's presented sometimes. It's not a domination submission. Even within the church. When you submit to your spiritual leader, you see, your leader doesn't dominate you. You see, apostle doesn't dominate the church. Apostle directs us and corrects us when we're wrong, but never has he ever dominated anyone. And that's why I love him so much. He always lead as Christ leads the church. And okay, all right, class. So for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. Okay, I just saw seemed good to read that whole context of that scripture, class, so we can come into understanding of the submission in the home. Now we're going to another level here. We look at another point right here. We're talking about the children. See, submission in the home starts with the family, but it starts with the husband and the wife. But you can't be an example or leader in the church if your home is not under submission or subjection. If your home is not in one accord and the leadership is properly aligned and the love is the number one thing that's causing the marriage to really function and the relationship to function, where the children can grow up watching their parents and grow up imitating the parents. You see it? Now, I can almost say I kind of grew up in this church. You know, my wife and I was still young when we became members here. I was in my 20s. She was in her 20s. And so we grew together, but we imitated our apostle and his wife. I watched over the years how apostle treated Miss Callan and how she always seemed submitted to him. And he ever seen him do was treat her with respect and love. And it gave me the understanding that how my marriage should be patterned. I had an example to follow. And so sometimes, church, sometimes you need a good example, godly example of a husband and wife. And I watch how he reared his children. His children, if you watch his children in the ministry, all those children are submitted to him. Even their men and women now, they're submitted to him because he's a godly example of leadership, not only in the church, but he started in his family. And so his family represents the church, and the church represents his family. You see, and so if you want to see a good leader and know a good leader, see how his family is functioning. See if his family is lined up with the word of God. See if his family is under subjection. And that's why I like this first family. And that's why I thank God for this first family, because they're a good example of authority in the home. You see it? And I tell you what, if you couldn't find a more loving family. And so it's not never by dominance, never by control, but by love. And the same way he pastors and being an apostle over us in this church, the same manner. Class is just so blessed just to watch it. Sit back and watch how he functioned and watch how the ministry functioned. I worked on staff for 26 years. And so I had close observation of how the ministry is run. I mean, from top to bottom. I mean everything line up on line, precept upon precept. It was a joy to come to work every day, knowing that I don't have to even think about any foolishness like on a secular. I work on a secular job. Spent 20 years in a secular system. I know how the system runs. I know how it bike batting and the competition is. I know how it runs, and it's not a fair shaker thing. You don't always get things fair. But the godly system always overrules the worldly system when it's done properly. Now we're gonna deal with the children now. Now the children in Ephesians 6:1-3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And children should obey their parents in the Lord. And so I grew up in a godly home. My mom and dad, they have a fear for God, but it did correct us though, because we learned obedience through the things we suffered. I understand how suffering directs obedience sometimes, and I understand how you can chastise a child. And they can understand, you know, what correction means and how correction works for their good and not for evil. And it goes without saying. And I decided when I became a man, I want to raise my children the way I was raised. Because we did good, we came up good, and my family is blessed, and my children became blessed because of it. Thank God for obedient children. You see it? Thank God for obedient children. Just love your children. It's to honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You see that? Children are commanded to honor their father and mother. You see it? But it has to be taught to these children. Honor has to be taught. You see it? And correction had to be done. I remember the prophet Samuel. Not the prophet Samuel, but Eli. Eli's son did wickedness before him. And Eli didn't correct his children. And God had to end up judging the sons of Eli. And Samuel was raised under Eli, under the priesthood. And so God began to deal with Samuel. And Samuel had experience with God at a young age. And his mom put him in the house from the day he was weaned from her. And he grew up in the presence of God. But Samuel turned out to be another man, you see, because he had the Spirit of God upon him at a young age. But honor is one of the greatest things you can do to a parent. And I learned that over there. That's why as spiritual parents, it's good to honor our apostle and his wife and his family. That it may be well with thee, and that thou may live long upon the earth. Then the scripture said this was the first commandment with promise. Isn't that something? Let's move a little further now, class. I'm letting the scripture speak for itself. I'm letting the scripture define how the family should be run just by the scripture. Colossians 3:18-23 is almost repeating what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. You see, now we understand submit a little bit better. And a husband that loves his wife and is a house where the wife can easily submit to her husband. We're going to find out where Sarah called Abraham Lord. The submission was so defined. Then he said, husband, love your wife. Know that element always is wife submit and husband love. And the wife can't submit without the husband love first. When a husband loves his wife, a wife want to submit to her husband. And be not bitter against them. Treat them right. Treat them fair. Now, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. See, the Bible speaks for itself. You don't need no interpretation revelation for it. Just do what the Bible says and submit to it, and God will make sure that it comes out just like you're supposed to. The parents are supposed to train the child up the way he should go. And when he gets older, the Bible says he shall not depart from his training. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Now the 21st verse says, father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now see, you can mishandle your children, and sometimes it's good. If you mishandle your children, go back and say, look, I didn't handle this thing right. I've done it many times in my life. Sometimes parents don't always judge situation right. Sometimes they're human just like anybody else. And so we're going to miss it sometimes. And we're going to sometimes put correction when correction not deserved. But you got to make it right. And so you don't want to discourage them. You don't want to break their spirit. You see it? And you don't want to tell them what they're not. You tell them what they are. Love your children. And see, and so lest they be discouraged. Yep. You don't want to discourage in your household. And then it goes down to another level of it's talk about servants. See, servants. It says all this is in Colossians 22. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now we know, Claire, nowadays we don't have any servants as slaves. So one translation said, used the term employees. Use the term employees as though you work for someone. Obey in all things your employer. You see, it takes a little bit home. You obey all things. You see, according to the flesh, and not with eye service. Eye service. You know what eye service is? Eye service is some of you may have done it. You know, eye service is you want them to see you you doing when you're doing the right thing, but when you leave, you do the wrong thing. You want to act as though you're doing your job properly, and you're on the job, or you see them coming, you help them jump and act like you're doing, staying busy, you know, and so you can please them, you know, with your actions, and do your all. Nobody do 100% or work 100% of the day. Apostle will tell us, and this is the kind of man he was. He said sometime, if I walk by and you taking a little break, you ain't gotta hurry up and jump up like you're doing something. He said, because I know you can't work 100% of the time, you gotta stop and take a little break. And he would tell us that. And it felt so relaxing. So when he would come around as, you know, as the authority, as our boss, as our spiritual leader, he wore twofold responsibility as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, and then as an employer, you know, and the overseer, you know, we had a certain respect, and your flesh all might want to jump up and act like you were busy, but no, he knew. He said, just sit down and take your break. He said, but you know, if you do your work, you ain't got nothing to hide. If the people that jump up and try to act like they're doing something is the one that trying to hide. You see it? Well, that's just something I threw in there. Because it helped us to work with peace and enjoy what we were doing and not under constraint and not work under pressure all the time. Sometimes people put themselves under pressure because they try to work with eye service, you know, they try to work, you know, to please men. You see, no, as long as God is pleased. If you know you're putting out your 100% and God is pleased, you know, once you please God, everybody's pleased. You don't have to even concern yourself with that. Are you with me? So that's what his eye service talk about. Not as men pleases, you see, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And that's the kind of action God wants. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. And this should be your level of excellence. When you get to the place where you know God is pleased with what you've done. Say, Lord, I've done the best I could here. I know I put my all in this thing. You got a project. And you know that you went as far as your excellence let you go, and then you know you please God with it, well, that's far you can go. You see it? So if you please God, my goodness, that should be your ultimate goal, to please God. Now, let's look at Titus now. We almost do, Claire. Look at Titus. But we're trying to show you an example of authority in the family system, in the home. Titus said that they may teach the young women to be sober. Who may teach them? The older women. Now, you don't see that too much these days. When I grew up in the Baptist church, they had what they called the mothers of the church. And they would teach these young girls, these young women how to dress. They will tell them, no, that cut down too low. No, you need to pick that up a little bit. Oh, that dress is a little bit too short. That's too much leg. You see, no, they will teach them how to carry themselves with discretion. You see, how to be sober and how to love their husband and to love their children. See, you see, and older women ought to pass this on down to their children. And you know, and really back in the day, they didn't have to be your children to tell them something. But today, everything got to be so much, you know, perfect now. I mean, in other words, you can't talk out of line. You can't correct nobody else's children. You know, everything got to be, it ain't like it used to be back in the day. And so you can't do what you really want. But back then, everybody raised up. The whole community was raised up. You know, the neighbor up the street, you see you doing something, before you get home, they know what you've done, that we were raised by a whole community. And so that was love. You may not have seen that love back then, but it was helping us. You see it? And then it said, to be discreet, chaste. Oh, this is a good word, discretion. Chasing yourself. Keepers at home, good. Obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see it? And the church should live a higher standard. And marriage should have a higher standard than the world system marriage. Children should have a higher standard than the children that the world has to offer, that the world promotes. You see, everything should be high. A Christian employee should live a higher standard than the your unsaved employers. You should get a higher recommendation. I tell you what, I wasn't a perfect employee when I was in the chemical plant. But I tell you what, God promoted me every chance He got. You know, I never stayed in the same place. And they always wonder why God kept elevating me. Because I work as though I work unto the Lord. And they saw that. And they saw the honesty and integrity. I was challenged a certain time. One time, in particular class, you know, we had to fill out time sheets. We would work overtime. I work in a mechanic crew. And when something break the plant, you know, it was our job to fix it. And sometimes we would stay over 8 hours. We had to fill out our own time. If we work over 5 hours, then we mark on our time sheet 5 hours. Well, every time we got time to do our time sheet, all eyes was upon me. What you putting down? How many hours you putting down? I said, how many hours did we work? See, because they'll go to fudging and stuff, do things dishonestly. And so they all will look at me, oh, honest Ronald. You see, he gonna put down 5 hours in 10 minutes if that's what he worked. But I tell you what though, God promoted me for that. They may not have liked it, and sometimes you gotta stand alone. Sometimes you gotta go against the grain. You see, don't yield to please other people. Always honor God in righteousness and honesty, and God promotes you. God see that, and God promotes you. So I always believe in being honest on the job. And he called me to be promoted every time I got a chance. Every time God got a chance, he promoted me. So we should be on top in everything. We should be first place in everything. Yes, in our marriage, with our children. You see, you know, an apostle, they've been acting apostle for a long time. When you gonna write a book on the family? Because he had one of the most prestigious family I think that I ever seen. I mean, staying above. God, it's a perfect example for the body of Christ. And I honor the first family. And I tell you what, it's still been a help to me through the years. Not only with my wife relationship and the husband relationship, but our children relationship to the parents. And now it's down to our grandchildren. We learn to raise our grandchildren in like manner, help them, correct them, and enjoy them. And I tell you what, so young men likewise, exhort to be sober minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, but it's good stuff, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now I'll tell you, that's the kind of life the Christian should live. If the world should have no evil thing to say of us. Well, class, you've been in good class, and I tell you what, this family authority, it starts with submitting one to another, and then. But that's the level of accountability and responsibility that put men in the leadership position. God put man as the head because that's his divine order. But you don't force it. You love your way as the head. You see it? You see, it's not dictatorship. You love your way with, to leadership and respect. And so God bless you. You've been in a good class, and I'll see you next time.